people throw it around like, oh, you know, passion or purpose means, you know, love. Mm-hmm. It means, you know, something that you can't live without, something that I'm going to be obsessed with. And it turns out that that's not the original meaning of the word at all. The word actually comes from the original meaning of, you know, suffering. So passion is almost equal to suffering. So it's something that you do and, you know, you're kind of suffering for it, but yet you still continue to pursue it for some reason that's beyond you.
This is episode number 2 of Keep Me Inspired podcast show with Carissa Lintau. Hello guys, I'm Shivatmaj. I'm your host for this show, and every fortnightly I will be interviewing today's most inspiring and successful personalities who will range from CEOs, authors, celebrities, YouTubers and other achievers who have achieved unachievable paths and became most successful. And we both will learn together and deconstruct and understand what made them be wherever they are today. So stay tuned. Carissa Lintau, called a trailblazer by Forbes Media. Carissa Lintau has spent the past 5 years working in the app economy as a common sense app strategist and educator. Her work has led her to oversee the growth of over 300 apps and the beginning stages of countless aspiring entrepreneurs' app ideas. Carissa is currently the CEO of Aptitude, an award-winning app store optimization agency. 70% of app downloads come from app store search. Therefore, it's the company's utmost goal to ensure each and every client is set up for their best chance at success without spending an extra dollar on advertising. Informing Gen Z women and minorities about the future of technology and work is her passion, as she lives it out through mentoring independently and with Technologicians, a division of NCWIT. She's also an independent TEDx advisor to rising Gen Z thought leaders. One of Carissa's maxims is that founders, designers, developers, and makers have an obligation to uphold responsibility for everything they build. Aside from app store optimization and mentoring, Carissa researches and reports on overlooked ethical issues regarding tech, such as human design, social media usage, app developer responsibility, and inequality. Her work can be found on Medium, The Next Web, Hacker Noon, The Startup, and Art Plus Marketing. Carissa has been featured on Forbes, Business Insider, CNBC, Thrive Global, and Road Trip Nations documentary. Venture Forward for her entrepreneurial efforts and focus on utilizing technology for good. Carissa TEDx Talk, How to Prepare for a Job That Doesn't Exist, was so much insightful. I will be attaching the link in the description. So, without wasting any more time, let's get started. Wear your headphones and stay tuned. Hello everyone. Today on our show, we have with us Carissa Lintau. Hey Carissa, thank you so much for being on this show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be on here.
After watching your TED Talk, it was so insightful, and you spoke on that underrated topic, like how to prepare for the job that doesn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
I was like... I learned so much in that 10 minutes of video, and I was from that moment I thought to and tried to bring you on this show. Mm-hmm.
because you are one of the such person that I look up to become like, so thank you once again for being on this show.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. That means a lot to me. I appreciate those words. I'm glad, you know, you found it insightful and helpful. That was the whole purpose of the talk. So I'm glad you took a few things away from it.
I am at my 20s and most of my audience are ranging from 18 to 25 years of age. Mm-hmm. So I would like to start our conversation by going back to your childhood. Me and my audience would like to learn from you and are curious to know what kind of background you grew up in and what are your values, friends you surrounded yourself with. Can you elaborate how were you as a kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. So growing up, I was actually homeschooled and the oldest of five. So everyone's working from home now, thanks to COVID, but I've been doing it my entire life. So I was kind of used to, you know, the whole work from home scene, just for everything from school to work to actually living with a ton of people. So that was kind of more or less the very not traditional background I had growing up. And I feel like being homeschooled really kind of forces you to teach yourself in a way, and so you almost become your own teacher. So I guess how this ties in with the TED talk, I don't want to say always self-reliant, because no one is really self-reliant, but I was always, you know, more or less, I guess, like reliant on myself to learn new things and to seek out, you know, new resources to learn from, whether it was, you know, learning something new on YouTube or reading a new book. That was my background, just constantly learning and trying new things. I was especially, you know, very much involved with sports too as a kid. So I did everything from soccer, baseball, karate. But I really love baseball. So I guess I was always challenging myself with new and different things, and even music too.
Oh, you were open to everything. Like, you tried so many things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whether or not I realized it, my parents put me in a lot of different environments, from, you know, public speaking to guitar lessons to graphic design to karate. So, I mean, I'm a very well-rounded person thanks to them. And, you know, that upbringing of, you know, trying a lot of different new things. And being homeschooled, again, definitely shaped me into the person I am today.
What are the lessons you learned from your parents, the way that they took care of you? What did you learn from your parents?
I mean, yeah, my parents were always there for us. I mean, they had five kids, and those five, they always found a way to get the job done, whether it was, you know, putting food on the table or, you know, to education. They always did what they had to do for, you know, their kids. And that, I think, it obviously speaks a lot to, you know, their character and, you know, their willingness to put their kids' needs first before theirs. So it was very admirable.
So they took care of all the people equally?
Yes.
How did you earn for the first time? Like, it's not easy for everyone to get paid for and find jobs. You said something about you found your first job on Upwork. Mm-hmm. Like, what was your first time experience of that you took towards achieving your financial freedom?
So the first gig I found on Upwork was actually very much unrelated to the work I do today. So it was a gig that was $7.50, and it was a creative writing gig. So somebody was basically looking for short stories to populate his creative series. So in his book series, and you know, I took it with a grain of salt, but you know, at the same time, I thought, well, you can earn, you know, $7.50 by just writing a creative story. Would I rather do this or work at, you know, an H&M or a McDonald's over here and get paid the same rate for working, you know, the same exact hours, basically. So once I realized that, I decided to look around for more gigs, and the creative writing led itself to writing trivia apps, the content for the games that you play around with on the App Store. So one of the first gigs I took on in the mobile app space, which is where I am today, is writing trivia content for a House of Cards app. So I basically binge watched all of the House of Cards seasons for free thanks to the guy's Netflix password. And, you know, he basically said to me, get back to me with 300 questions and answers, and, you know, the $50 is yours. You know, and of course, $50 is like the equivalent of $1 million to a 17-year-old. So, you know, of course. I did my best to knock it out as fast as possible, and, you know, and also as quality as possible. And then I knocked that project out for what it was worth, and then that led itself to more work with the same developer. So we worked on a few other movie titles, like The Hunger Games was another one I remember. And then, of course, that work led itself to more work and more work and more work. And here I am today.
On your own business.
Yep, I own my own business.
On your Upwork profile, I saw you with Gary Vaynerchuk. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, like, how did you get a chance to meet him? And how was the experience of meeting such a legend?
So it's funny. Everyone always asks this question, but Gary is the same exact thing in person as he is on the video, or on video, I should say. A lot of people would think that, you know, he might be different or have a different persona, but he's very much the same exact thing as what you see on YouTube.
Like, what is the lesson you learned from Gary Vaynerchuk that you knew after you met him?
So I think that a lot of people, you know, would see Gary Vaynerchuk obviously as a mentor, and they would think, you know, the experience is different, you know, in person, or having a mentor is different in person. But, you know, at the end of the day, I realize his message is practically the same, you know, as what he's speaking online as in person. So I mean, with that said, I think everyone should take the advice that he gives. I mean, if you're not familiar with Gary V, he's arguably one of the biggest business personalities that was born digitally. So he talks a lot about business marketing advice, social media advice, and he's very practical. But all that to say, I think that people should just really take all of his, not all of his, of course, it's very much predicated on your own situations and circumstances, but he definitely taught me the importance of, you know, having the same, preaching the same message online and offline, and being who you are, not falsifying an image of yourself just for the sake of, you know, looking like someone that you may not be online, if that makes sense.
So how do you take that leap of faith? What are the decisions one should keep in mind before taking some of the important decisions of their life? Also, when we think about starting a startup, it is most likely to fail because we have no idea on how things will go, how demands will be. What is your advice to the youngsters? Do youngsters need to quit their education and follow their dreams, or continue their education and work on their dreams?
Yeah, so this is a very difficult question because it is so predicated on, you know, the person's circumstances. So I mean, it's, oh, in my mind, I'm always the person that kind of, I don't want to say I play it safe, but I always, you know, feel out the situation before I jump wholeheartedly into it. And, you know, to your point, 90% of startups fail. I'm sure the number is even higher. But there's also a lot of research that that has showed that, you know, the kind of the best, most successful entrepreneurs were still working a full-time job while working on their startup. So I mean, it all comes down to prioritizing time and where you think your time and energy is best spent. If you are, you know, 100% confident and you do want to jump into a startup full-time because you are so confident in, you know, the concept and whatnot, I mean, by all means, go for it. It's your life at the end of the day. Who am I to say, you know, work a full-time job, you know, stay safe, and then, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it really comes down to what is going to help you sleep better at night, I feel. You don't want to be anxious or living in fear, being like, you know, you can't pay rent, you can't pay for, you know, putting the lights on if you're jumping full-time into a startup concept that's not even validated yet, for example. So it really just comes down to self-awareness. You know, knowing your situation inside out, knowing how, or having a good understanding of how each situation may or may not play out, and weighing out, I don't want to say weighing out the pros and cons, but weighing out the pros and cons, I'd say.
Right now, the life you are living is a definition of success to so many people, including me. What is the definition of success according to you?
That's a good question. Let me think about that for a little bit. So I think success to me is almost ever changing. I feel like, you know, a lot of people, when they see the word success, they might think of money or, you know, financial freedom or living the life that you, you know, living life on your own terms or not being, not working a 9-to-5. But I think success is just really, it's a personal kind of, a metric of sorts, even though it's really not a metric because you can't quantify or, you know, you can't quantify success at the end of the day. But if you do choose, you know, money as a success metric, you know, you definitely can quantify that. But I guess the success for me is just being able to meet my goals and to be and being happy.
Being happy. Yeah. We all want to do extraordinary things, but there is some moments in our life where we lose hope. We think we are alone and we are sad, upset. How to overcome and move on from our difficult times?
Just to repeat, you said, how do we get through difficult times?
Yeah, when we are stuck up in some situations, okay. how do we move on from that?
Gotcha. So I think everyone has their own ways to kind of get through or cope with, you know, difficult situations. Me personally, I enjoy working out or, you know, taking a step back from the situation. Because the more you think about a difficult situation, kind of the worse it gets in your head. And a lot of it is making up hypothetical situations that aren't even real or that haven't even played themselves out yet. So, I mean, taking a step back and I mean, going out for a walk, something as simple as that and getting fresh air, you know, just moving your body, that has definitely worked tenfold for me in the past. And so I definitely give the same advice to anyone else.
Mm-hmm. So physical exercises will help us to move out of the situation.
Most definitely. Anything to get yourself out of your head, and just anything that would allow you to have more clarity about the situation you may or may not be overthinking is great, in my opinion.
Most people just see the beautiful part of your entrepreneurship. Can you share the struggles you have to go on every day? And I'm also curious to know, what are the learnings you got from starting your own company, Aptitude, that you haven't learned before starting your company?
I feel like starting your own company definitely will get you in front of a lot of situations that you wouldn't have had otherwise. So I feel like as a business owner, you don't need to know everything, but you need to have a baseline understanding of practically everything that's going on in the business. So anything from, you know, accounting, finance, business development, graphic design, community relations, PR, you need to learn everything. You don't need to, you know, be a know-it-all, you know, inside out, but you should have a baseline understanding of everything that is going on in the business, that way, because at the end of the day, you're the only one responsible for, you know, the success of the company. So I found that it's really good to have a very broad skill set. It doesn't necessarily have to be, again, you don't have to have deep expertise in every realm, but it's important to know basically the fundamentals of everything that's going on in the business. So with that said, I tend to stress out a lot, which is, you know, fairly common for an entrepreneur. And when I say stress out, it's more or less overthinking. And, you know, this goes back to the point about what I said about, you know, getting yourself out of funks or, you know, just anything that's and getting yourself out of a mental state that's not ideal. So I catch myself a lot and make sure I do, you know, have workouts in between. I do my best to go out and walk, or just even if it's something as simple as closing the laptop screen and just thinking the situation out. So I do my best to incorporate kind of mental breaks like that throughout the day, because, you know, at the end of the day, running your own business, it could be very stressful. So it's important that you understand, you know, what are your triggers, or, you know, what are situations that you can figure out for yourself, and, you know, find, and if not, if you can't get through a situation yourself, you find a person to delegate that to, or, you know, try to find someone else that can help you get through that situation.
Yeah, that's a very deep insight you just brought to our notice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Like, yeah, we just see the outer perspective. We don't know the inner struggle you have to go through. Can you share some of your thoughts on why most people never work on their dreams, even if they do? After facing one or two failures, they give up, they quit. How can they do things differently?
That's another good question. I mean, that could be for a variety of reasons. You know, a lot of people could get caught up in the fact that, oh, you know, they quote unquote failed one time in front of a ton of people and they haven't done that before. So they get caught up in, you know, validation or looking for someone else's needs. The second one could be, you know, that could be a pattern of someone's life and they might not necessarily have the social support system that they need. So looking to their friend group could be, you know, extremely discouraging when, you know, there's mm-hmm. a study, I'm sure, or a quote you've heard of it before. It's just you are the almost a combination of the five people you hang around with the most. So a lot of people don't really understand the weight of, you know, your friend group. So they could be, you know, almost demoralizing to you, or like even making fun of you for, you know, failing or not necessarily being the most supportive as they could be. So there could be, you know, a variety of reasons as to why people fail, or I feel like it mostly may come down to confidence or their belief in themselves. Because if you believe strongly in the concept and, you know, you feel very, I don't want to say attached to the concept, but if you feel very strongly about the work that you're doing and you do have a strong purpose and that you're not going to let anything deter you from, you know, reaching those goals or, you know, setting up this new concept to life. But I guess all that to say is just make sure that you are, you know, very confident in, you know, the idea that you're pushing forward. A lot of startups do fail, you know, 90%. That's just the reality at the end of the day. But, you know, of course, you shouldn't put yourself in that bucket. I mean, every entrepreneur thinks they're the next best thing for good reason. So it's important to have, you know, your North Star or purpose in life mm-hmm. that to really keep going.
Yeah. Every time we see something new or we are excited about something, we think we can start a startup over that idea. Like, what kind of question should we ask ourselves before we act on some of the idea and converting that into a startup? That's like, a what idea. Were the initial decision you took?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's a really good question. I feel like I wish a lot of people would ask themselves questions more before even pursuing a startup. I feel a lot of people jump the gun and just immediately rush into, you know, a startup without doing their due diligence. And when I say due diligence, I just don't mean, you know, market research. I mean, you know, really questioning yourself, you know, being like, why am I the best person to do this? Why do I feel like I need to do this? What kind of, do I have this support system in place to, you know, help support me while I do this? Can I, you know, financially support myself while I do this? There are a lot of questions that you should be answering or asking yourself before jumping into anything full time. But one of the main mm-hmm. things I think everyone should kind of look within, quote unquote, is the main question of purpose. So I wrote up an article on this a while ago, and I think one of the most fascinating finds that I've came across mm-hmm. was the actual definition of the word purpose. So I took a look at the etymology of the word, and a lot of people or the word purpose right now has kind of lost its original meaning. People throw it around like, oh, you know, passion or purpose means, you know, love. Mm-hmm. It means, you know, something that you can't live without, something that I'm going to be obsessed with. And it turns out that that's not the original meaning of the word at all. The word actually comes from the original meaning of, you know, suffering. So passion is almost equal to suffering. So it's mm-hmm. something that you do. And, you know, you're kind of suffering for it, but yet you still continue to pursue it for some reason that's beyond you. I mean, it could be spiritual, you know, whatever you want to equate it to, or, you know, however you see it, it could be interpreted in many ways. So, you know, it could be your conscious, could be God, could be a spirit, et cetera, et cetera. But there's usually a very strong feeling as to why you should do something. And it's something that, you know, drives you crazy at night. You know, you can't go to sleep. You don't know why you need to do this, but you just feel like you need to do this. So really, really digging deep into, you know, your purpose or the purpose of, you know, the company, you know, the brand, the product, whatever you want to put out into the world, should really ask yourself, you know, why should it be you? Why do you do this? Why do you need to do this right now? You know, why is it timely? Just questions like that to really understand, you know, what's driving you forward with whichever startup endeavor you may have.
Yeah, this insight is a complete new thing for me about purpose you just shared. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for letting us know about, like, even I was confused with that word purpose and passion. Like, it is overrated. Everyone uses it here and there without even making sense.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my friends who I communicated with, some of my female friends, they say that entrepreneurship is completely for male. Can you share your thoughts on this, that no matter the gender, anyone can be an entrepreneur, anyone can pursue their dreams?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, entrepreneurship is for everyone. I mean, plain and simple like that. I feel like a lot of women may have just a limiting beliefs, or you know, they don't necessarily have a role model or someone else, you know, that did the same thing that they're trying to do, especially with tech too. Obviously, tech is a more male dominated field, but that's not to say mm-hmm. that, you know, oh, it's only for men. You know, anyone can do it, no matter, you know, how old you are, mm-hmm. your gender, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it all comes down to how bad you actually want to do it. I mean, you shouldn't be looking to other people for, again, validation or putting limiting beliefs on yourself, because if you're putting limiting beliefs on yourself, the only person that's hurting at the end of the day is you. You shouldn't let yourself get in front of your own dreams. And, you know, even if you don't want to pursue entrepreneurship, that's totally fine, you know, but just don't check yourself out before even jumping into the thing, you know, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that brings us to the last round of our podcast, that is rapid fire round.
All right,
this will be fun for you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So you get 5 seconds to answer all the questions.
Oh, geez, okay.
Okay. What inspires you to do everything you do?
Oh gosh, I don't have an answer for that question. Probably purpose. We'll go back to that. I'd say purpose / passion.
Mm-hmm. If you want to attribute all your success to one habit or one ritual of yours, what would be that?
Hmm. Oh gosh, I hate to repeat answers, but I'm gonna have to give it to passion / purpose again. I mean, yeah.
So if you had to start everything from first, what are the three things you would have done differently?
Probably have more, I don't want to say confidence. Confidence is the wrong word. Just be more confident with pricing. One, be more confident with pricing. Two, just know that everything is a learning process and be comfortable with the learning process and growing process. And three, oh gosh, this is hard. I definitely ran out of 5 seconds, but this one is a little bit more thought-provoking. Oh gosh, what would be number three? Three is make sure everything is documented and make sure people sign off on contracts before starting work. That would be my third one.
So I believe it's not late to implement those.
Yes, no, not late at all.
Before I ask you one last question, Carissa, I would like to know if people listening to this show have to get their work done related to app or want to get in touch with you. How can they do that?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So I'm at Carissa Jade with 2 A's on social media. And if you just look up Carissa Lintow, you know, all my socials, website, everything will pop up there. But, you know, whether it's Twitter DMs, Instagram DMs, you know, shooting me an email at carissa@aptuitive.tech. I'm readily available and pretty much answer, you know, as soon as I can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I will attach your attach it in the description.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Coming to the final question. Mm-hmm. Imagine tomorrow, all of a sudden, you got a chance to talk on a stadium. And this stadium is very special because people from all over the countries will attend that stadium.
Oh my gosh, that's a huge stadium.
So this is your chance to give a 1 minute talk on one learning or a message that you want to pass on the generation to come. What would that be?
I feel like it'd definitely be on kindness, or just treating everyone with kindness without any, you know, hidden agenda behind why you're being kind to this person. You know, in the state of, you know, a 2020 world, in the pandemic, all of the craziness that's going on throughout, and even in business as well, I feel like a lot of people have lost taste in what it means to be kind, or, you know, to have character. And I think that's one of the most important qualities, you know, anyone can have. Let me try to get my thoughts and formulate them together. Just definitely to be kind and treat people with kindness. That would be the number one. That would be the definitely the topic that I speak on.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Carissa, for being on my show. I really appreciate it. Your insights will help us in our journey. And this voice will be our hope that we can do something big in our life.
Most definitely. Well, I'm so glad you had me on, Shiva. It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much, guys, for listening till the end. It means a lot to me. And if you have any more questions, you can drop a message at keepmeinspiredpodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Instagram. I am the brand myself, for more updates on my upcoming episodes. Only by listening to this podcast, you will never improve. Go out there. Whatever you wanted to do, even if it is a very small step, take that step today after listening to this podcast. So go out there and start doing what you wanted to do. Remember, problems can only defeat those who can be defeated. So here's a question for you. Are you a person who is defeatable?